Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Wednesday, March 13th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We'll go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me for our last full show of the week here, our second handicapping the hardwood segment with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com and also bangthebook.com. We're going to run through 10 conference tournaments here on this show, getting us out to you on Tuesday night. So I know in the intro I said Wednesday, but you know, we are getting this out on Tuesday night. Try and get as much lead time as possible for these other 10 conferences. They are the Big Sky, Mountain West, Southland, Big Ten, SEC, Conference USA, AAC, Big West, WAC, and the Ivy League. So we'll have covered all 32 conference tournaments here on Bang the Book Radio once this show is in the books. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Phenomenal work being done by our very talented cast of writers. We've got conference tournament previews up for all 10 of these that haven't started yet. Also, a couple others that we talked about on Monday's show that will start on Wednesday. My MLB season win total previews and all of my futures content over at bangthebook.com. Also, Kyle Hunter's daily college basketball picks piece, Parker Michaels' daily NHL picks, Corey Papps, Jonathan Willis, and Alan Moody. We've got NASCAR previews up for this weekend, golf previews for this weekend as well. Lots of stuff going on at bangthebook.com. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB200 is the promo code, 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. One guest, one long segment here on this Wednesday edition of Bang the Book Radio. That is with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
Going well. Going well. This is a busy time of the year, and as I hear you promoting everything that's going on at Bang the Book, tons of stuff going on at Bang the Book, tons of stuff in college basketball alone, and this is a really busy time in the sports world.
Yes, sir. Most definitely is. 10 conference tournaments coming your way here on this show. We got through 9 in a little over an hour on Monday. We'll see how we do here with the 10 today. But before we get into that, I do want to touch base and circle back to some of the conference tournaments we talked about on Monday that haven't started yet. Odds have moved around. I know there were a couple you wanted to mention here at the top of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one I wanted to say is Davidson. You know, we talked about Davidson yesterday being a veteran team. You know, Davidson yesterday, I believe, was plus 350 or 375. Now they're plus 460 on five dimes. That's implying, you know, less than 18% chance of winning this tournament. I think that's too low. I think Davidson's a good play at plus 460. If you look at the A-10, VCU's a good team, but I don't know if they're quite as good as what everybody is rating them at right now. I think VCU does have some flaws. They get in a half-court offense game. You know, if they don't force those turnovers, they're not an unbeatable team by any means. And I think that, you know, plus 460 on Davidson's certainly a good price there.
I think so, too. And, you know, we talked about it with regards to Dayton, who remains the second favorite out there in the marketplace. But Dayton likely to run into St. Louis there in that quarterfinals game, which wouldn't be an easy one by any means. On the other side, you've got Davidson, who, you know, runs into the winner of Duquesne and St. Joseph's, a much easier matchup for them. So I think Davidson definitely makes more sense over Dayton in the A-10 conference tournament. Anything else tickle your fancy that we talked about on a Monday show that you want to revisit?
Yeah, the price got a little bit better here on Oregon in the Pac-12, and I saw plus 450 a little bit ago. I see it's plus 405 now. I have to tell you, these odds are moving very quickly. So, you know, we talk about this a lot, but you need to be shopping around. You can get plus 250 one spot, plus 405 another spot. That's just a massive difference. So definitely check around. But I think Oregon plus 405 to win the Pac-12 is a pretty good price as well. And to be honest with you, maybe you could do even better with the money line roll over there. But I like Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, and that's one of those, too, where, you know, obviously you increase what you can win, but also the difference between 250 and 405 is substantial when you talk about hedging or, you know, maybe looking to partial hedge, something like that. You can't really partial hedge a plus 250. You can partial hedge a plus 405 or, you know, even if it gets back up to 450. So very important point there at the top of today's show. And let's go ahead and get into these 10 conference tournaments. By the way, recording this on my private Blog Talk Radio channel. So hopefully we get through it clean and clear. Hopefully there aren't too many issues that I have to edit to get this thing posted in a reasonable amount of time. We start with the Big Sky Conference. It's a conference you and I actually like to talk about quite a bit over the course of the year here. Some very interesting things in this conference, beginning with the fact that we've got a new venue in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, you know, this is a new venue. I don't have any numbers on how it would do, but I think it's probably an under arena. You know, I mean, if you look at the images of this, it's used for hockey and boxing. It doesn't look like the best backdrop to me. I would venture to guess that the under will do pretty well here. I'm pretty sure the under will be steamed in these Big Sky games. So if you do like the under in these games, I would suggest you play those earlier rather than later.
Well, again, we talked about this with Tony George on Thursday's show. You know, he talked about how sometimes having a bye really isn't an advantage for a team. The 6 through 11 seeds play here in the first round on Wednesday. In fact, the first game of this tournament, 9:30 a.m. Pacific time between Northern Arizona and Sacramento State. But those 6 through 11 teams get a chance to play, get a chance to go out and play at this arena. I believe Idaho State, I think, played at Boise State during the regular season. That was the only team that played in this venue. So, you know, as we look at the rest of this conference tournament here, we break down some of the odds in the Big Sky. You know, it's I don't want to say it's completely wide open, but at the same time, you know, you do have a favorite here in Montana, plus 160, Northern Colorado 235, Weber State 550, Eastern Washington 900, and then on down from there.
Yeah, and I see the lines are changing right as we speak here on this. Big Sky, the conference I love to talk about. We've talked about it here quite a bit, like you said, on Handicapping the Hardwood. I think this is an interesting conference, and there's money to be made in games like this. As far as the futures standpoint here, the way I would break this one down is Montana's the best team here if they're healthy, and I don't think it's very close if Montana's healthy. But is Ako going to play, Jamar Ako? I believe that's how you pronounce it. If I'm wrong, I apologize there. But the big man, they need him, you know, much higher upside with him. I think that Montana is vulnerable without him. You know, they've shown that here down the stretch. The thing is, I think Weber State's a very dangerous team. They're far more talented than their record would suggest. But a tough path for them, because if you look at Weber State's draw here, I mean, Weber State plays Portland State in the first game. Portland State's been playing some really good basketball. Portland State's another team I would consider as a sleeper here in this conference. They even beat Montana there a couple times. So Portland State, not going to be an easy out there in the first game. So, you know, that kind of writes off Weber in my mind. If you look at this bracket, you almost have to take somebody from the bottom of the bracket, right? Because you've got Northern Colorado, the 2 seed. I think Northern Colorado's a good team. Eastern Washington probably overvalued as a 3 seed here. Eastern Washington has a great home court advantage. They have not been good on the road, and that matters a lot to me here because, you know, they're not playing at home. So how have they done away from home? Not very well at all. Based on that, there's a couple things I like here. I like Northern Colorado some. The price was plus 280 a little bit ago, plus 235 now, so I don't love plus 235. I do think if you look at this bracket, Montana State is the 6 seed, sets up pretty well to win at least a couple games. They play Idaho in the first game. Montana State, certainly better than Idaho. Idaho does have, you know, somewhat of a home court advantage here, but Montana State has some senior leaders. You would think they'd get past that game. And I think Montana State has a real chance to beat Eastern Washington in the second game. In fact, you know, I don't know what the line would be, but it wouldn't be very big, and Montana State might even be favored in that game. So you've got a Montana State money line rollover as a possibility in my mind because, you know, who are you going to take from the top of this bracket? I think it's pretty tough.
I just want to correct myself. Boise State actually plays at Taco Bell Arena. They don't play here at CenturyLink Arena, so nobody has played at this venue. So I do apologize for that, and I also corrected that in my conference tournament preview as Kyle was talking there. The thing that worries me about this conference tournament, about taking any shots, is that the number one seed has won 7 of the last 8 years, and the 1 year it didn't happen, 2015, the number two seed won it. You have to go back to 2010, number 4 Montana, coached by Wayne Tinkles, of course, the head coach now at Oregon State. 2010, the last time somebody outside of the 1 or 2 seeds won, and 7 of the last 8 years for the number one. So that does kind of concern me just from a historical element here. But at the same time, I sort of wonder if, you know, Montana and their usual, you know, adversary Weber State, you know, they were so good and so strong year in and year out. Seems like maybe there's a little more parity to go around this year.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more parity here. I mean, you've got a Montana team that I thought was going to be clearly the best team in this conference. I still think they are clearly the best team if Aiko is playing. If you look up all the statuses on him, nobody's saying anything. So, you know, if you find out about the status of Jamar Aiko, I think that makes a big difference here. Montana might be worth a play if he's playing and healthy. But not knowing that, I can't take plus 160 on Montana. Like I said, I kind of like Northern Colorado because they are in the easier side of the bracket. I like that Northern Colorado has the best defense here in this conference. They also have what I would think is probably the best player in this conference in Jordan Davis. So Northern Colorado, not a bad play here. I think plus 235 is probably not the best price you can get, so wait for those prices to move around a little bit. Definitely keep an eye on these prices. They're moving so quickly that, you know, it seems like if somebody plays it, the line moves to where, you know, maybe somebody comes in and takes Montana and that moves Montana's odds to shorter. Well, then everybody else gets a little bit better. So if somebody with some decent sized money puts something on somebody else, then maybe your side that you like will get better.
Well, and this is a good point in the show to tell everybody. I understand we had a 2-hour show on Tuesday. Take some time to listen to that. We're recording this here on Tuesday afternoon to get it out by Tuesday evening with a lot of these conference tournaments starting on Wednesday. So, you know, the prices are obviously subject to change, and many of them will change. So if you have any questions about prices, I'm at Skating Tripods on Twitter. He's at Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter. You can email me, adam@bangthebook.com, kyle@huntersportspicks.com. We'll let you know what we think based on the new prices, but in order to get this out with some lead time, this was about the only time that we decided we could do it. So again, if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning as you traditionally would or something like that, or Wednesday on the way to work, I'm sure these prices have changed. I apologize for that, but it is a very fluid situation, and we're more interested in getting this out with lead time, you know, as opposed to, you know, what the prices were going to do. So again, at Skating Tripods on Twitter or at Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter, I will sort of direct you in the right direction. All right, let's go to the Mountain West Conference. Go ahead.
Can I add something to that real quick? I just wanted to say
absolutely.
That,
go for it.
You know, this is something where I'm glad that Adam said that, because don't be afraid to reach out to us on things like this, because like you said, the price has changed so quick. And I've had this question before. You know, do you just like Team A at any price? You know, sometimes on an in-game wager, sometimes a pre-game wager, sometimes a future. No, I don't like any team at any price. You know, there's no way. Everything's price-dependent. So if I say I like somebody plus 350 and now they're plus 200, it probably changed.
All right, so we move on to the Mountain West Conference here, and this is another one of those conferences, a very early start time in the first round on Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific time tip-off, between Colorado State and Boise State, which is actually kind of an interesting game, given that both of those teams have a decent-sized ceiling, but they also have a very, very low floor, plus the winner takes on Nevada. Thomas and Mack Center, what are we dealing with here?
Well, since everybody's used to playing here at the Thomas and Mack Center, I feel like this is not an under venue. No bad shooting backdrops here. Teams accustomed to playing here makes a big difference. If you look at it over the past 10 years or so, there's just been a few more overs than unders at the Thomas and Mack Center, so nothing here to speak of.
All right, as we look at this conference tournament, Nevada is the odds-on favorite. They are chalked to win this thing. Now down to minus 145. There was as high as minus 200, I believe, earlier today. So, again, another conference where odds are moving around. Utah State, the 2-seed, plus 230. Fresno, plus 875. They're the 3-seed. San Diego State and UNLV probably going to wind up playing each other. San Diego State plus 2,300, UNLV plus 3,500 would draw Nevada in that 1-4-5 game. So any futures value here in this conference in your mind?
Yeah, I don't like anything here. I think this is probably my least favorite one that we're going to talk about as far as futures value. I thought Nevada was too expensive at minus 200 earlier today. Probably about right now. I don't think they're a great value. I don't think they're a bad play either. But, you know, the problem here is, who do you think is going to win the Utah State versus Fresno State matchup that's likely to come there at the bottom of the bracket? Because I don't think I see anybody like in New Mexico or Wyoming beating Utah State. Air Force of San Jose State beating Fresno State seems pretty unlikely as well. So I think it's going to be Utah State and Fresno State down there. And the way they played each other in the regular season so close, I think that's a very unpredictable game. So It's hard for me to find any kind of value here. Some people might say UNLV would be a good sleeper team since they host this conference tournament, but I don't think UNLV is either well-coached enough. I don't think Menzies is the best coach here in this conference, and I also don't think they're quite talented enough to take down the teams there at the top of the bracket.
No, and I mean, this is a conference tournament that's been at the Thomas and Mack Center uninterrupted since 2007. It was there from 2000 to 2003. UNLV hasn't been in this conference tournament final since 2013. They haven't won it since 2008. So they haven't taken advantage, even when they were a pretty good team, they haven't taken advantage of having home court here in this conference tournament. You look at this from a futures standpoint, I think you do better on Fresno State than plus 875 with a money line rollover against Utah State and Nevada. So maybe that's the only thing I would consider here. A lot of people probably going to like San Diego State. You know, they stole this bid last year. They beat Nevada during the regular season. But last year they were an underseeded team, I think, for first-year head coach Brian Dutcher. This year I think they underachieved quite a bit, and they may be overseeded based on how they played over the course of the year. So I don't even like San Diego State here either.
No, I don't like San Diego State here either. They've had some problems away from home this year. And the way that they handled the pressure there in that late game situation against Fresno State was pretty bad. You know, the way they blew that game at the end of the game does not make me confident about them. You know, they're going to be in some close games here if you're going to make a run. I don't think I trust San Diego State enough. And if you look at the bottom of the bracket, just kind of looking at the numbers, I think probably Utah State would be maybe two and a half point favorite there against Fresno State in that game. So I agree with you. I think Fresno State, you could do better than what the futures price is here. I just don't think there's much value in this conference.
I will say this. I mean, if Nevada for some reason comes down into the minus 125-ish range, implies 55.6%, I might take a shot at that because you've got a Nevada team here pissed off that they lost a conference game at all this season. In fact, they lost three of them. You know, there was talk of will Nevada go undefeated in the regular season. I think Caesars even had that prop up for a little while. You know, they can't be happy about how the regular season ended. And then especially last year's conference tournament, you know, beating UNLV, then getting run off the floor by San Diego State. Nevada's got that sufficient enough motivation to lay a price with them. Not minus 150, not minus 145. I think something in the minus 120 to minus 125 range would be palatable enough for me to take them.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if you look at Nevada this year, I mean, I think that Nevada's hype train got a little bit too much there earlier in the season. I think that was probably not a good thing for this team. You know, everybody was talking about Nevada, like you said, maybe they'll go undefeated. They're just going to be, you know, unbeatable team. It's hard if you hear that the whole off season. You hear that early in the season. You start off the season playing really well. You're going to have some of those letdown spots. You know, the games that they lost this year, they lost pretty badly in a couple of those games. So Nevada's had some major hiccups there, but I think Nevada's clearly the best team here, and I would think that they would be invested.
All right, so we move on to the Southland Conference here. This one at the Merrill Center in Katy, Texas. So obviously a little bit of an advantage to the Texas-based teams here. Kyle, what are you looking at from the venue for this conference tournament?
Yeah, when we look at the venue here, the over 27-24 in the last 51 at this arena. I see nothing here that would suggest that this is a big under arena. I think this one plays out just about neutral.
Now, there is an advantage, though, to one of these teams here in this conference tournament based on where the arena is, and as you put in your notes here, that is tournament favorite Sam Houston State. They are the number one seed for this conference tournament, 16-2 overall here in the conference. And, you know, what's really interesting to me here about this conference tournament is that Stephen F. Austin, nowhere to be found. They didn't even qualify, and they've been a dominant team in this conference over the last several years.
Yeah, this conference tournament's unique in that you know, there's quite a few teams that don't make it. I don't know what to think about that, whether I think that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, it's surprising to see so many teams not make it from this conference. However, having said that, the bottom teams in this conference probably weren't going to win it anyways. You know, I think Sam Houston State, Abilene Christian are probably quite a bit better than everybody else. You know, as I've said before, I'll be honest and say that I don't know this conference as well as some of the other ones. You know, they are teams that until this year didn't have a line. Certainly know them better than I did last year because I did pay more attention to their games this season. But, you know, to me, it's a little bit surprising that you can get Sam Houston State at plus 150 here. You know, they're very close to home, just a little over an hour drive away. They're a team that's been very good, very consistent throughout the course of the season, a veteran team. They're both pretty good on offense and pretty good on defense. They don't have any real glaring weakness. I was trying to look for a sleeper team here. Southeast Louisiana is a team I considered. They lost some key players from last year, and that turnover percentage really scared me away. I hate to take a team that's just turning the ball over constantly, even if they do play pretty good defense and slow the pace down consistently. I think Sam Houston State plus 150 is a pretty decent price, given the layout of this, where this these games are being played, and also how the bracket sets up.
Yeah, and you know, I think that when you look at this conference tournament too, it's just one of those things where so many of these teams are so bad. And if you get a team that's halfway decent, both offensively and defensively, they're going to do very well in a conference like this. And that's kind of what we have with Sam Houston State and Abilene Christian. I know we've got a listener down in the southeastern Louisiana area, so a quick shout out to him here while we talk about the Southland Conference. But you know, again, I mean, you got the double bye, so Sam Houston State and Abilene Christian don't really have to do a whole lot to win this thing. You know, they got to take care of business in a couple of games, so that gives them a big advantage. And also, too, you know, again, like I said, you've got teams that are just – they're not well-balanced. And when that happens, asking a team to play really well three games in 3 days is such a challenge. So I think basically in this conference, you pick the plus 140 you like the most between Sam Houston State and Abilene Christian and go with it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, as we talked about yesterday, you pointed out that you're in the Sun Belt. Georgia State at the time, I believe, was plus 220 in it. I know that they're lower than that now, or they were just a few minutes ago. But, you know, you take a team that's all the way to the semifinals, you have to play well two games. You know, some of these other teams have to play well four games in a row or three games in a row. And if you are an inconsistent team that has major weaknesses, like you just said, I think that's a really good point. That's hard to do. You know, you need that balance. You need to be able to win a low-scoring game. You need to be able to win a high-scoring game. You're likely going to need to be able to win a game that's a slower pace and a game that's a little bit faster pace. And I think that's why, you know, the top two seeds are the only ones that really make much sense to me as far as finding value. And like you said, you decide which one you like between those. I'll take Sam Houston State based on where this game's being played and it's close to home.
All right, last thing I want to ask you in this conference tournament. You may have this in front of you, so this may not be that fun of an exercise. How many of these mascots and team names can you get of the eight schools that are in the Southland Conference tournament?
Oh, shoot, man. I'm really good at these usually. I remember you and I talking about this before. I think I could get five of these, but I'm kind of disappointed in myself for that because just about every other conference I get like every single one.
All right, so which ones can you get?
The Bearcats, Sam Houston State, Abilene Christian, I don't remember. New Orleans, I believe the Privateers. You've got, let's see, Lamar, the Cardinals. And I'm not looking for anybody that's listening. Southeast Louisiana, I cannot remember. So, man, pop test here. I wasn't expecting the pop quiz. It's been a while since I've had one of these. Corpus Christi, the Islanders. So that's four, right?
Yeah, I think it's four.
I got to find one more because I can't lie about how many I know. Central Arkansas, I'm going to guess here. I think they might be the Bears. Is that right?
You're correct. Yes.
Yes.
You got six. I think I'll let you off the hook now. The only one that I couldn't get, Houston Baptist is the Huskies, by the way. The only one that I couldn't get was Abilene Christian. They are the Wildcats, which, I mean, you know, you can kind of throw a dart and say Wildcats or Tigers, and you've probably got about a 50% chance of, you know, getting that one right. But, no, I wonder how our listeners would have done with that little pop quiz there about the Southland Conference. Hey, good for you. I think six out of eight is significantly better than a lot of people would do. By the way, Southeastern Louisiana is the Lions. So there you go. There's the Southland Conference field, and now you can impress all your friends and win bar bets by knowing the team names there in the Southland Conference. All right, let's go to the Big Ten Conference, where we hopefully know who all of these teams are I got to say, first and foremost, I'm very happy that this thing's back at the United Center and not dicking around at MSG or in D.C. or something like that.
Yeah, me too. It's always nice to see it at United Center or Indianapolis. Yeah, I could safely say I know all the Big Ten teams without, you know, even thinking twice. But and I have to say, in most of these conferences, I would know all of them pretty quickly. So you gave me one of the tougher pop quizzes there. I like it, though. I always like trivia like that. Big Ten, you know, if you look at this, United Center, not a bad shooting backdrop at all. The over 23 and 21 in the last 44 college basketball games there. If you look at, you know, what the United Center looks like, I've been there a couple times. It's definitely not a bad shooting backdrop. I think it's pretty normal. Nice venue. You know, Michigan State gets the easier side of the bracket here. Wisconsin is a good team, but they have some serious flaws. I mean, heck, we saw that on Sunday. I have to be honest, Wisconsin minus 2.5 was a play of mine on Sunday. And that's about as nerved up as I've ever been on a bet. You know, I mean, had to go take a little walk outside after that one was over because, wow, I mean, I won it. But like I said on Twitter there afterwards, I believe I probably lost a few years of my life during the process. But Wisconsin is it doesn't have that good guard that matches up well against a team like Michigan State. So I don't know that Michigan State has a really tough matchup anywhere there at the top of the bracket. Maryland can't win on the road. I mean, they haven't won on the road all year. Maryland is a talented team, and I think Maryland probably has more talent than does Wisconsin. But do you trust Maryland? I mean, I don't know. Do you like anybody from the top of this bracket other than Michigan State?
No, it's tough. And quite frankly, I don't even really like Michigan State that much. They're plus 175.
Right.
Purdue is plus 315. Michigan plus 330. Wisconsin 650. Maryland 13-50, Indiana 33-1 is really interesting. I'll explain why in a minute. Penn State 50-1, Minnesota 66, Iowa 60. So odds pretty spread out here in this conference. You know, I don't really like Michigan State because, as we've kind of talked about with some of these major conference teams, you have to gauge motivation. And while Tom Izzo's teams are usually really, really good in the month of March, they've had a tumultuous regular season with injuries. I don't know how hard Izzo wants to push it in this thing. That could open the door for somebody else. And Indiana, if they get past Ohio State, and they should because Ohio State's not playing very well, Indiana beat Sparty twice in the regular season. So they're not going to be intimidated. They're not going to be bothered. They've got a good head coach in Archie Miller. I don't know how far Izzo wants to push this thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I guess I didn't mean that I like Michigan State from a future standpoint, more just that, you know, they don't really have a tough matchup up there either. Now, having said that, can Indiana beat them? Of course, they've proven that already. And I will say that Ohio State's going to have Caleb Wesson back, so I don't know that, you know, it's a layup game for Indiana there because Wesson's a big deal for them. You know, as far as the top of the bracket, I can't get excited about betting anybody. The bottom of the bracket, when you go down there, Penn State is far better than a 10 seed. They are much, much better than the 10th best team in this conference. I think Penn State will likely beat Minnesota in that first game. I think Penn State has a chance of beating Purdue in the second game. So Penn State, money line rollover, I think it makes some sense here. I think they are an underdog that has a real shot. I also kind of like Illinois at the ridiculous price that they're at now. I don't have the odds right in front of me right now, but Illinois was, I believe, plus 30,000 a few minutes ago. Illinois gets Northwestern in the first game, and Iowa team is just totally falling apart here at the end of the season second. I think there's a good chance Illinois could be in the quarterfinals there against Michigan.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that makes some sense. And when you're holding, you know, a 300-1 ticket, I mean, it's not hard to hedge that once they get to the Michigan game. Even though Michigan will be a big favorite there, it's not a difficult hedge to make. So I do like that one from a futures standpoint, and that's another one where, you know, I mean, the plus price is just out of this world. So I think it's a very good option there. Again, Illinois, very good chance to beat Northwestern, good chance to beat Iowa as well. You know, I mean, for this conference, it's a low price, and I don't love it by any means. But I think that for the Purdue Boilermakers, you know, it's been so long since they've won this conference tournament. In fact, they haven't won it since 2009, lost in the finals last year, lost in the finals in 2016 to Michigan State. You know, you see the Michigan price dropping a little bit. I just mentioned I don't like Michigan State a whole lot. Maybe this is Purdue's year. I mean, they are dependent on Carson Edwards and, you know, I mean, Matt Painter's a pretty solid head coach, but I don't know. I just, something about Purdue is kind of intriguing. I just don't know if the 315 price is good enough.
Yeah, the thing that worries me about Purdue is I think even their first game is a difficult game. If Penn State wins that first one, I think Purdue matches up pretty well against Minnesota. I know they had trouble with them in the game at Minnesota, but you know, I think Penn State's a tougher matchup for them. Penn State is playing very well. As I said, I think Penn State has nothing to lose. So I don't like that Purdue has three tough games here. I think Michigan, for me, would be the choice between those two teams on the bottom, Michigan plus 315. I think Michigan matches up pretty well against Iowa or Illinois. So I would say Michigan maybe only has two tough games. Having said that, I don't think there's a great value here anywhere. I think those long shots have a little bit of value there with either Penn State or Illinois. But other than that, just to win the whole thing, I don't see anything great.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, there are so many depressed futures prices here because a lot of these teams are pretty good. I mean, Indiana, when I wrote my preview, was plus 57.50. That was a pretty decent futures price. Now at 33-1, it's certainly lost some equity at that point in time, especially with the fact that Wesson will play for Ohio State. You know, they go from being, I would say, maybe a clear favorite of 2-3 points in that game to maybe that game being more of a coin flip now. So, take some equity away from Indiana and their chances there going forward. But you know, when you talk about these conferences that have a lot of good teams that are 6, 7, 8, 9 bid leagues, there's rarely futures value just because the prices are so spread out.
Right. Yeah. I think it's difficult because like you just said, you don't have one dominant team. You don't have two or three dominant teams. You really have a lot of good teams in this conference. A lot of different things could happen in this conference tournament. I don't think it would surprise either one of us. So, you know, maybe this is a better one for pregame wagering than it is from a future standpoint. Like I said, I do think some of those really long shots, especially Illinois, maybe even Penn State on a money line rollover, make some sense. And obviously, I think this goes without saying, but, you know, if you're putting something on Illinois plus 30,000, don't put a lot of money on that because you don't have to put a lot of money to have a pretty substantial amount of risk there. Your profit would be solid even with a small amount.
All right, so we go to Nashville for the SEC Conference Tournament here. After a one-off year at the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, which, as we've talked about before, a very good under arena, we're back at Bridgestone Arena now, down on Broadway in the Music City. What about this shooting backdrop? How's this one play out?
Yeah, this one's a worse shooting backdrop, definitely. This is the home of the Nashville Predators. Large building, difficult shooting backdrop. I will say these SEC teams are certainly more accustomed to playing in big arenas. So this isn't anything like, you know, a Big West or Big Sky or something like that going showing up with this massive arena. SEC is certainly more used to it. I think the under has some value here, but it would be more of an under lean rather than just a, you know, just blindly bet unders.
All right, so as we look at the field, number one seed LSU is in shambles. Will Wade not going to be there for the tournament. They have some other things going on behind the scenes as well. They are a number one seed at 6-1 right now to win this conference tournament. Kentucky plus 210, Tennessee also plus 210. Those are the 2 and 3 seeds. Auburn, the 5 seed, draws a very overseeded South Carolina and then this wounded animal in the LSU Tigers. So Auburn plus 500, the third favorite out there. But Florida, you know, they would have to play a lot of games over a lot of days. They'd have to play 4 games in 4 days. But yet, you know, they're still up there at plus 1750. Mississippi State plus 1350. So, you know, this is it's good to see the SEC competitive almost across the board, at least 1 through 10 or 11. In this conference tournament.
Yeah, the SEC has gotten quite a bit better here in college basketball compared to, what, 2 or 3 years ago. You know, we used to talk about the SEC in college basketball. Oh, gosh, I mean, it's just Kentucky and everybody else. Now it's pretty interesting. I do think it's kind of wild to see South Carolina. It's the 4 seed here. I mean, if you think of teams and who would be the top teams in the SEC, South Carolina wouldn't be anyways even close to 4th in power ratings. So, definitely Auburn has a favorable draw there. The question is, Auburn, I mean, when are they going to put it all together? Auburn should be better than they are. They're not very good on the glass. They've been pretty inconsistent. They force turnovers, but they're kind of sloppy on offense themselves as well. I don't know what to make of Auburn. The other team at the top of the bracket, at Florida, as you mentioned, Florida is very capable. of beating some top teams. It's just consistency. I think Florida's been a huge disappointment this year. I had pretty high hopes for Florida. You know, they were a top 25 team, according to almost everybody in the preseason, and here they are struggling. We're wondering if they'll even make the NCAA tournament. If they lose to Arkansas, they probably won't make the tournament. So could Florida beat Arkansas, then beat LSU and beat Auburn or South Carolina or whoever it is and be in the championship game? Certainly they could. They could also lose that first game. It wouldn't surprise me too much either. So I don't want to invest in Florida. I don't think that's a good enough price. I tell you, I do like Kentucky some in this one. I think Kentucky matches up pretty well with just about everybody in this tournament. And I like the fact that you've got a tough shooting backdrop, might have a little bit lower scoring games. I think that plays into Kentucky's strengths. Kentucky's defense is very good. They've really impressed me defensively of late. And I also like that Kentucky goes to the hoop. They get a lot of two-pointers, get to the line a lot, offensive rebounds. They're not a team that's going to settle for a lot of threes. And certainly, as everybody who's listened knows, I like Kentucky's coaching staff better than I like Tennessee's coaching staff. So, you know, Kentucky-Tennessee matchup there, Kentucky would have, you know, they always have a bit of a home court advantage. I'm sure Tennessee would have a lot of people there as well. Obviously, it's at Bridgestone Arena. But Kentucky fans travel really, really well. Kentucky, I think, is the better team than Tennessee, the higher upside. You've got the same price on some books. It's even Tennessee slightly a favorite here. I think Kentucky plus 210 is a solid play.
Yeah, I mean, as I wrote in my preview, there's kind of a Ric Flair vibe to the Kentucky Wildcats in the sense that to be the man, you have to be the man. And they've been beaten once in this conference tournament before the finals since 2009. So, yes, the conference has gotten better around them, but also as these programs are building, Kentucky's still at the top of the mountain. I mean, last year they won this thing as a number four seed. So until somebody knocks off Kentucky and keeps them from the finals, I'll have a Kentucky position. And furthermore, when you look at the draw, I think Ole Miss is a very solid team. I think Kermit Davis is a phenomenal effing head coach. I would rather play Ole Miss in the quarterfinals than Mississippi State. And that's who Tennessee's probably going to draw. And then the turnaround from Friday to Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time for Kentucky against probably Ole Miss, maybe Alabama, 8:30 p.m. Central Time for Tennessee against, in all likelihood, Mississippi State. And then that game is at 2:30 in the afternoon the next day. So I think Kentucky can get by Ole Miss with a little bit less effort and have a little more turnaround time than Tennessee will. That could end up being the difference in that semifinal game and why I do prefer Kentucky to Tennessee.
Yeah, I do as well. I like Kentucky pretty well here. This is one of my favorite ones that we've talked about thus far. I have to say also, I think, Adam, you're on your game today. You brought the pop quiz for the Southland and also made a Ric Flair reference.
Yeah, right? This is fun, man. You know, if you can't have fun doing this shit, then don't do it, you know? I mean, I love these conference tournament shows. I love all the things we're able to talk about. And, you know, I'm very thankful that you work it into your schedule here to, you know, be flexible and kind of move some things around. So, you know, really appreciate that. And hopefully all of our listeners do as well. Let's go to Conference USA because this thing is a cluster F of a tournament. You've got games going on at the same time. You've got this tournament being played in what's ostensibly a practice facility for a football team. I mean, this thing's a mess.
This is really a mess. I don't like the multiple games going on at the same time at all. You wouldn't think that'd be very good for the fans. I mean, what if you actually want to see both of those games? Well, I mean, it makes it pretty difficult. So a very weird tournament. Massive stadium makes it, you know, at least a lean to the under here. And I know that there were some pretty high-scoring games in this conference tournament last year. It's a small sample size, you know. I mean, you know this as well as anybody, Adam. You know, you get a few games, somebody scores 100 to 95, and immediately somebody says it's not a bad shooting backdrop. It doesn't mean that. You know, let's give it a little bit of time. Let's see how long they keep doing this. You know, are they actually going to keep doing this? I was kind of surprised they did it again this year, to be honest with you. You know, as I look at this conference, the odds have changed drastically from yesterday. You know, I did some of my notes here yesterday. This was the first conference that I typed up some notes on. At that point, Southern Miss was plus 190. So we've got some major moves here. This is a conference where it is pretty wide open. I mean, who do you think is really the best team in this conference? I think Old Dominion plus 340 is a pretty good play. I like Marshall quite a bit. They're plus 1150 now. I got plus 1200 yesterday. I think 1150 is still a good price. I know Marshall's a team that, you know, shoots a lot of threes. They could be affected negatively by this backdrop, but, hey, they won it last year. So it didn't bother them last year. And Marshall also is rounded into form at the end of this season. You know, you look at the way they've played at the end of the year compared to the way they were playing earlier this season. I like Marshall quite a bit. I think that Marshall certainly has a good chance to win their first couple games. Rice, a team that is very beatable there in that first game. They'll be a decent-sized favorite there. Marshall against Southern Miss. Southern Miss absolutely waxed Marshall. I don't have the score in front of me. What was it, 50-point win or something like that at Southern Miss? That's a massive revenge spot. Southern Miss, a good team, an improving team. I think that's a dangerous spot for Southern Miss in that second game there against Marshall. I would look to go with Marshall in that game on a pregame wager, as well as I kind of like it from the future standpoint. I think Old Dominion also, because they had nothing to play for in their last couple games. So don't read too much into those last couple games. Western Kentucky, really high upside team, very inconsistent. You could make a solid argument that Western Kentucky has the highest upside of any team in this conference. I think that's probably true. Having said that, Western Kentucky could lose to anybody. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So I don't like teams like that because, as you said before, several games in a row of playing well, you can just play really well in one game. So I think Old Dominion's the kind of steady team, the more steady team in this conference. I like their setup here in the bracket fairly well. The negative for Old Dominion would be that they play against UT San Antonio. UTSA would have a home court advantage, at least to some degree, in that matchup. But this is a wild conference. Like I said, I think Marshall is my favorite play here.
I mean, quite frankly, I don't like anybody's draw in this thing. You know, I do like the first game for Marshall because Rice is the only team in this conference tournament this year that did not qualify for the conference tournament last year. So when they show up at this thing and they're playing what amounts to like a glorified AAU tournament with a, you know, screen between the two courts, they're going to be like, what the hell are we doing here? So Marshall, who won this thing last year, big, big, big advantage in that 6-11 game. Like Marshall against the spread there in that one. I'm not sure what the number will be, but it's definitely a game that I'll be looking to take advantage of, I think. But, you know, for Old Dominion, the draw is okay in the second or in the quarterfinals against the 8-9 winner. You know, but after that, I don't think it's particularly great. You know, I don't love the draw for UTSA. Middle Tennessee got much better late in the year. UAB, who's a 5 seed, despite having a lower conference record than Marshall, you know, they're always an interesting team. FIU and North Texas in the 7-10 game, they're both dangerous. I mean, FIU plays at a breakneck pace. They're going to have a game under their belts when they take on Western Kentucky if they win that game. If they don't, I think North Texas is the biggest underachiever in this conference this year. So they've got upside. They're a very solid defensive team. I don't like anybody's draw. The odds are so spread out here. The tournament format is so weird. You know, if you're Southern Miss, you play your game on court B, then you go over to court A. So it's a different shooting backdrop for you in that semifinal game. Is there an adjustment period with that? I hate this conference tournament. I love what they're doing with the scheduling. I think it's really cool and creative. I hate the conference tournament.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you're saying there. I mean, it feels like, you know, you're going to the local YMCA and you've got a curtain between the courts or something. I mean, it's just pretty crazy. I mean, I'm surprised that they're sticking with that. It creates some interesting pregame wagering, you know, just game to game. I think it could create some pretty good spots here. So I would keep a close eye on Conference USA as far as that. Like I said, I like Marshall here. Plus 1150. I think Marshall matches up well with Rice. I also think that good revenge spot in the second game. You know, who else do I like in this conference? Like you said, I think it's pretty hard to find value here. I think it'd be better to just make the game-by-game wagering, and maybe even some in-game wagering. I think that, you know, you made a good point here that FIU and North Texas are also pretty good for 7 and 10 seeds. North Texas was partially the most underachieving team in this conference because they just had a rash of injuries, massive amount of injury issues. They have a good head coach. As long as Woolridge is healthy, And, you know, I haven't seen an update on his status. I know he's had some nagging injuries. North Texas is very capable of winning two or three games in a row here if they're healthy. I think that's a big question mark. And like you said, FIU plays at that breakneck pace. You know, there's not really any team that you would say, oh, I'd be stunned if they win three games in this conference, so in this conference tournament. So I feel like this one's pretty wide open, difficult to find a lot of value from a future standpoint.
All right, so we go to a conference tournament I'm not a huge fan of to maybe my favorite conference tournament here, the American Athletic Conference, the AAC, at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. So the 5-seed Memphis with a home court advantage here. Houston, number one, they're very good. Cincinnati's number two, they're very good. Temple's a 3-seed, they're fighting for an at-large. Number 4-seed UCF is very good. And Greg Marshall's Wichita State team getting better here as the season went along. So, you know, you've got a lot of intrigue here. Houston's plus 125, Cincinnati 250, Central Florida 500, Temple 725. Memphis is taking a lot of love here. When I wrote my preview, I think they were plus 1,100. They're down to 800 now, obviously with the home court. Love this one. This should be a great one.
Yeah, I think this is a great conference tournament as well. First FedEx Forum, the under is 139 and 114, so that's 53.9% since 2005. Look, Houston's the most complete team in this league, and I don't think there's any doubt about that. The question I have is, you know, did Houston's performance at Cincinnati this past weekend, as impressive as it was really, really impressive. Did that make them a little bit overvalued here? I guess I'm curious to get your take. Don't you think that Houston's price at plus 125, before that game against Cincinnati, it would have been pretty different, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. You know, there's definitely some recency bias in some of these futures markets, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I think this is probably the best example of it. You know, Houston's a really good team, and if I was getting them plus 200 or plus 225, I would take Houston. I just can't take them at the price they are because there's several good teams in this conference. And if you look at Houston's path, it's not that easy. I mean, their first game should be fairly easy, but either UCF or Memphis likely in the second game, not an easy matchup there at all. I think UCF's a really dangerous team. You know, I would not want to play UCF if they get in the big dance. They're a very unique matchup. Taco Fall changes the game in there. It's not his shots blocked. He changes so many shots. I watched that Cincinnati-UCF game. Jaron Cumberland's very good at getting to the hoop. Cumberland struggled badly because of Taco Fall's presence there in the middle of the paint. I think UCF would probably be my favorite team here, and I think the money line rollover would do better than plus 500. I'm pretty confident of that because, you know, they play Memphis in the first game likely. Then they'd be a decent-sized underdog to Houston in the next game. And then they have to play probably, what, Cincinnati or Temple. Now, if you look at the other side of this, Cincinnati has certainly an easier route than I think either Houston or UCF. You know, the bottom of the bracket to me is easier. You look at Cincinnati, their first game would likely be Tulsa. Well, SMU might win that game. They've been a little bit banged up this year. Temple, not great as a 3-seed. I think they're a pretty good team, but I'd be more worried about UCF than I would be about Temple. So if I was Cincinnati, I'd be glad to play Temple instead. Having said that, you look at the Cincinnati price, plus 250 on five dimes. No way I'm taking Cincinnati plus 250. The money line rollover would be much better than that. I think Cincinnati is a little bit too one-dimensional. I mean, we say this every year, and I feel like it bears repeating, though. This is one. Cincinnati, Nick Cronin's teams are pretty much the same every year. They play very hard, can't fault them for, you know, effort. They play good defense, good rebounding team. Their offense is not efficient enough. Jaron Cumberland's very good on offense. They don't have a really good second option. They can get bogged down, go through those epic scoring droughts like they did at the end of that Houston game on the road. I don't like Cincinnati at that price. I do think they have an easier path. So UCF probably my favorite here to do a money line rollover with. I'm curious what your take is here.
I agree on UCF. I agree on the money line rollover too, because I mean, Memphis is going to crush Tulane. Tulane was 0-18 in conference play. So Memphis advances to that 4-5 game where they're the home team. So they'll be favored over UCF. UCF will be a dog against Houston if they win. And maybe they get enough of a bump to not be a dog to Cincinnati if the Bearcats make it through. But I agree. The money line rollover for Central Florida makes a lot more sense. Again, You've got a scheduling consideration here with the bottom of this bracket, Cincinnati and Temple. Cincinnati will play either Tulsa or SMU, and SMU is taking a little bit of futures money here this week as well. That could be an interesting game on Friday night, but that's the 6 o'clock Central Time game. Temple plays late at 8 o'clock. They'd have to beat Wichita State. Maybe that gives them an at-large berth if they beat Wichita State. I don't know. But then they turn around and play at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So Cincinnati, with the better turnaround, if both Cincinnati and Temple make it, which is why you do prefer them, and I agree with that at the bottom of the bracket, but the plus 250 price, I just don't think there's enough there for me.
No, plus 250, not nearly good enough. I think if you like Cincinnati, you have to do a money line rollover. I think most of these prices, actually, if you look at these, the money line rollover would do better. And as we talked about before, I really do think the money line rollover is a good way to go pretty often. As I look at the top of the bracket, I'll circle back to this one for a minute. Houston, UCF, I think the line on that one would probably be Houston minus 4 or 4.5. So, you know, UCF money line rollover should do quite a bit better than plus 500 if you roll those games together. They're going to be an underdog multiple times there. I think UCF is in every game, you know, because of their defense. I like their very good defense, ability to shot block shots, and change shots. And UCF has gotten a little bit better on offense here of late, especially with Dawkins emerging as a very good shooter. So I think UCF is a team that nobody wants to play.
One other kind of interesting point here that I just sort of thought about, let's say that UCF beats Memphis, you know, in that 4-5 game there in the quarterfinals, attendance is going to completely crater for this tournament. So you kind of wonder, Saturday and Sunday in a big NBA venue that already slants to the under, got to think that maybe the under is going to have some significant value in the semifinals and the championship game.
Yeah, and unders in general have value in the semis and championship to start with, so maybe it's even stronger here. You know, you play games on multiple days, and those games start meaning even more. That the under has more value. You're going to see across the board, the under is going to get hit some significant steam. We see that today here on Tuesday as we record this, that there's been some major under steam, and I think that's even more the case in the small conferences than it is in the bigger conferences like this. But it's going to continue to happen, and I think you're right that if Memphis gets out of this one, a game like Houston and UCF wouldn't be very well attended. Some of the other teams in this conference, right? Cincinnati probably would get a decent amount of people down there, pretty good fan base. But you wonder, you know, some of the other top teams in this conference, they probably wouldn't have great attendance.
All right, so we go to the Big West Conference Tournament here. This one at the Honda Center, and we have to mention this before we talk about how the field shakes out.
Yeah, Honda Center, first of all, this is a massive arena, hockey arena, way, way bigger than any of these teams play in. The under is 44-21 in the last 65 games here. I wanted to say, too, I filtered this down a little bit. Look for under spots here. Totals of 131 or higher. And 131 is not a high number, obviously. The market knows that this is an under arena, and yet still, totals of 131 or higher, the under is 30-7. So this has been a tremendous under venue.
UC Irvine, your chalk favorite, minus 175. UC Santa Barbara, second favorite, plus 380. Hawaii getting some love here, along with Cal State Fullerton at 8-1. Long Beach State, who owns the only conference win over Irvine this year, 15-1 on down from there. A couple things to mention about this first and foremost. The first is, as good as UC Irvine has been over the last several years, they've only won this conference tournament once, so they've had a lot of problems here in this thing, despite usually being one of the higher seeds. That being said, they have lost in the conference tournament final three times, dating back to 2013. The other is that this is one of those conference tournaments that reseeds, so Irvine could wind up with two very favorable matchups before they even get to the championship game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Irvine should stay very focused here. They're not going to think this is going to be a cakewalk based on the fact that they've not had success here in the past. Now, I will say, I think this UC Irvine team is better on offense than a lot of the teams in the past have been. They've won with defense solely often in the past. Now they have a good offense. You know, this is a solid offense. They put up some big numbers at the end of the year, Irvine did. I mean, I tried to find some value here when you look down lower. I mean, I really can't take anything in this conference tournament. I mean, if you look at the lower seeds, Hawaii, I mean, Hawaii is not very good away from Hawaii, and they're playing away from Hawaii the whole tournament here. So I don't trust Hawaii there. Long Beach State's been a bit of a disappointment. Fullerton, probably the second most talented team in this conference. I mean, they got to the big dance last year. Fullerton not playing well at all here late at the end of the season. I think you could make an argument for Fullerton plus 800 being good value, and I wouldn't blame you for that. However, their recent form concerns me, certainly. I can't take UC Irvine minus 175. So, you know, what am I going to do here from a future standpoint? I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to wait and see where we might be able to find some undervalue on those, the fact that they're playing here at the Honda Center.
Yeah, and again, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you just don't find futures value in a tournament, especially one like this where, you know, UC Irvine won their last seven conference games by at least 11 points. So it's not like they went 15-1 and were eking by. I mean, they did have some close games, lost to Long Beach State, as I mentioned. UC Santa Barbara played them really tough, but they hit a stride in early February and really haven't been touched since. So they're a deserving chalk favorite here, but again, probably not a whole lot of futures value. And we'll see if they get any kind of benefit from the fact that this field reseeds. All right, we've got two more conferences to cover. We're actually really flying through these as far as I'm concerned. The WAC, this conference tournament at Orleans Arena out in Las Vegas. New Mexico State is the favorite, as they are every single year, because, well, no one's really stepped up to the plate to challenge them a whole lot. They are minus 185 here. Utah Valley, the 2 seed, plus 385. Grand Canyon, the 3 seed, plus 465. UT Rio Grande Valley is the 4 seed, and they're 16-1. So, you know, obviously it's not great for your tournament sustainability if you run into New Mexico State in the semifinals. So, basically, is this take Utah Valley or Grand Canyon and hope for the best?
Yeah, I think it is. It's either you weigh the price with New Mexico State, which a little bit ago was minus 165. Now it's minus 185. I had in my notes here, I hope it goes lower than minus 165. It still might. You know, these things can fluctuate quite a bit. So maybe we'll see a minus 140, 150. Probably not as low as minus 140. But if you look at the bottom of the bracket here, you have to decide who you like better between Utah Valley and Grand Canyon. Those two teams are going to meet each other. I think those two teams are pretty even. I mean, you know, Grand Canyon has a tremendous home court advantage. If you've ever checked out a game there or, you know, just seen the videos of their student section, it's pretty impressive. I know that they're going to do as much as they can to get that crowd to Orleans Arena. Orleans Arena, a neutral location. I don't see anything about it that would suggest that you should just blindly bet unders. Utah Valley, Grand Canyon on neutral, I really think is a pick-up. You know, you can't have either team favored by more than a point or so here. Utah Valley, Grand Canyon, who do I like better between those two teams? I think Utah Valley might be slightly better than Grand Canyon, but I think that Grand Canyon will have a bit of a home court advantage. So this is a hard one for me. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a team that you like between the two of them?
I mean, you know, Grand Canyon played New Mexico State really tough in the regular season. They did lose twice, but they only lost by a combined total of 5 points. I think they've got some better crowd representation. And also, too, this is a game that maybe opens Pick'em offshore, but I wouldn't be shocked if Grand Canyon's minus one, minus one and a half out there in Vegas, because they are going to probably have the most representation. So that's something that's kind of interesting to think about here, too. It's not going to matter too much from a future standpoint, but I think there's a chance out in Sin City that Grand Canyon does go off as a, you know, a bucket favorite, maybe minus one and a half, minus two.
I think that's a good point. I definitely think that's a good point. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, Grand Canyon played New Mexico State really well on the road and at home, like you said. I mean, they were ahead in the second half, most of the second half at New Mexico State. So maybe when you combine all those factors and you say Grand Canyon's plus 465, Utah Valley's plus 385, maybe that makes you like them a little bit better. Having said that, I think that probably the biggest reason why that is Seattle is a bit of a tricky matchup there for Grand Canyon compared to UMKC. So I think that's largely priced in, but still, if I had to pick between those two, I'd probably take Grand Canyon.
And, of course, New Mexico State, coached by former Wichita State assistant, branch of the Greg Marshall coaching tree, Chris Jans, The thing here is, I mean, no offense to anybody that goes to New Mexico State or is an alum or is a fan. I would kind of love to see somebody else win this thing. You know, I mean, I know New Mexico State's going to go into the tournament, be a fairly dangerous mid-major and, you know, a 12 versus 5, 13 versus 4 type of game. Man, give me Grand Canyon in this thing. I think it would be so cool for them, especially with the huge transition that they made a few years ago to get to Division One. I think it'd be a great story. And that's, you know, I mean, I don't know if I'll have money on it, but I'm definitely rooting for that outcome.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I guess one last question. You don't like Chicago State as an underdog here?
I was going to ask. Chicago State plus – how the hell – how can you be plus 500,000 in an 8-team tournament? That's incredible.
Yeah, they're that bad, though.
Money line rollover, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
All right, we got one more conference tournament to talk about here. It is the Ivy League. I know it's Kyle's favorite conference. I know he's been looking forward to this the whole show. What is interesting here, though, is that the first 2 years of the Ivy League conference tournament were at the Palestra. Now it's going to rotate through the member schools, beginning with Yale. Yale is the number 2 seed, and they've got home court advantage. So that's pretty interesting here.
Yeah, does that mean it's going to rotate through all the schools, not just the top 4 ones, or what does that mean?
It does. As far as I was reading, that it goes to it's Yale this year, Harvard next year, then Princeton, Brown, Cornell, Dartmouth, and Columbia. So it's actually going to roll through all of them. But, you know, of course, this year, you know, Yale's a 2 seed. Ironically enough, Harvard's the number 1 seed. They hate each other. And Yale has home court advantage, so it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, it's very ironic. No difficult shooting backdrops here. Princeton limps into this tournament, clearly the weakest of the 4 teams at this point. Harvard's certainly a dangerous team. I think Penn underachieved a bit this year. I expect the Quakers to be a little bit better than they are. Yale having home court advantage and getting to play Princeton, I think they're a clear favorite for a good reason. I can't take minus 160. You know, minus 130 or lower, I think I'd probably take Yale. I think Yale is, you know, the favorite for a reason. Like I said, they've been pretty consistent throughout the course of the season. And you know, this is one where Harvard is a team where, you know, if you look at Harvard, they could have been better than they were this year, too. I'm looking back through their schedule here. I apologize. I looked through this. I'll be the first to say, I think we've probably made it fairly clear by this point that I don't love the Ivy League. If you've listened at all throughout the year, you know that's the case. I think the Ivy League's very difficult to bet an in-game standpoint. But, you know, Harvard had that triple overtime game against Columbia, and then they lose the next night to Cornell. I think that's understandable. Then they win on the road at Penn in overtime, lose right away the next game against Brown on the road. So Harvard has had some difficult spots. I think you could make a good argument that Harvard has some value here. I do think Yale will be the team that ends up winning this, though.
Yeah, I think so, too. And the hard part here with either Harvard or Penn at both plus 360 is you're probably looking at a coin flip type scenario in the semifinal game between those two. Both of those teams are going to have to spawn of energy just to play Yale on its home floor the next night. So, you know, I guess you could look at some equity from a Yale standpoint because Princeton shouldn't give them that much of a game, and Yale might be a minus 160, maybe minus 200 favorite because of home court advantage over either Harvard or Penn. So maybe there's a little bit of equity in Yale, but I'm not laying $1.60 here. It's just, you know, I think if you like Harvard or Penn, just straight up bet them in the final as opposed to, you know, flipping a coin in the semifinals.
Yeah, I think so too, because if you look at it, I think Yale's a -5.5 point favorite or so against Harvard, maybe 6. Depending on how the game before it goes, you know, like you said, Yale might have an easier game where Harvard has a really difficult matchup. Or whoever comes through that game. So I think Yale is in a pretty good spot there. So I don't see the need to pick between, you know, Harvard and Penn right from the beginning. Like you said, you might as well just wait. If you like them, you just play them against Yale in that last game.
All right, so there we go, man. We officially did it. We talked about all 19 conference tournaments here this week, including your favorite, the Ivy League. Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com and bangthebook.com. What's going on over at your site right now, man?
First of all, I love these shows. These are my favorite. You know, we've talked about it before. These conference tournament shows, I really like these a lot. You know, it's fun to talk about futures value, the type of shooting backdrops, things like that. It's right in our wheelhouse, and I hope that listeners have gotten some value out of this. I enjoy doing all the conferences like this, even the Ivy League. So, but heading over to, if you head over to huntersportsfix.com, my March Madness All Access package is up. You can check that out. Also, sign up for the Free Picks newsletter if you haven't already. We'll be doing some contests coming up here during March Madness, so check that out.
Make sure you follow Kyle on Twitter, at KyleHunterPicks, and check out his daily article and his video content, bangthebook.com and our Bang the Book YouTube page. Kyle, appreciate the time as always, man. Thank you so much, buddy. It's been a blast to talk about the conference tournaments over these last four shows here. And when I talk to you again, we'll be talking March Madness Regionals. So I'm looking forward to that.
Look forward to that too. Thanks, man.
There you go. There's Kyle Hunter, professional handicapper over at huntersportspicks.com and daily contributor to bangthebook.com. We talked a lot about futures here for the conference tournaments. We'll talk a lot about futures next week for March Madness, regional futures, overall NCAA tournament futures. We talk all the time about finding value. We talk all the time about shopping around for the best prices and just how important and how much of a key that is for sports bettors. You know, whether you're buying a car or making a sports bet, you always want to make sure you're getting the best number. And at PropSwap, you'll find the best numbers on futures. PropSwap is a marketplace where people buy and sell active sports bets. Last year, thousands of tickets were sold at odds better than any sports book, including a Warriors to win the championship ticket at 2-1 odds that one lucky customer was able to find. Because you're buying the bet from another person, sellers are able to offer you their bet at odds that sports books would never offer. So it's a good time of year to go to PropSwap.com/BTB. Again, PropSwap.com/BTB. Start getting the best number. Go look at their futures options. Go look at what's available out there for you in the marketplace here in the month of March Madness. That'll do it with the full shows here for this week. I'll see if I want to do a one-off segment with Wes Reynolds in the morning. We'll have a one-off UFC segment with Christian Pino later in the week. Maybe I'll do a MLB division preview as well, something like that. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, full shows talking March Madness, regionals, NCAA tournament futures, all kinds of great stuff there with those. So definitely make sure you tune in for that, especially because we'll have all the lines available for the Thursday and Friday games. We'll try to forecast out the Saturday and Sunday matchups as well. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again sometime very soon.